Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello, and welcome to episode 83 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver, my friend, my buddy, my co-patriot, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
How are you today?
I'm pretty excited to be recording this fun show with you.
Nice.
I'm stoked.
I am too. And first things first, we have a guest.
Yeah, we do.
So
a great guest.
An amazing, one of the best people in the world, in the WordPress world, and just the world in general. So welcome back to our friend, Tara.
Hi, thanks. That's very kind of you to say.
Well, it's the truth. I don't lie.
After listening to your podcast last week, I will just say thank you.
Aww. What did we even say?
I listened to your advice.
Oh.
When someone gives you a compliment,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Because Kyle doesn't do that. He just degrades his own his potential. He's a limited belief problem that Kyle has.
Okay.
Do we want to talk about what your dad said, Kyle, about what I said to you?
My dad's great. He's very nice.
He is nice. I love your dad's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't wait to see him and have a beer with him. Does he drink beer?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Tara. The pleasure is ours, I'm sure, for you to join us again. This is, I think, your second episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's super fun to be with you guys because your show is really fun.
Aw, shucks.
Awesome.
To listen to and to participate in. So thanks for having me.
So what else is going on in life? How's business? How's life for you real quick, Miss Tara?
Everything's starting out really well. I think the first part of the year is always a little bit of a chance to reset and refresh. And this is the second year where I've really done that seriously. And I'm enjoying that process. My family's doing well. My son just moved to LA. He got an internship with a composer out there. So I'm really proud of him and excited.
Where's he living? What part of LA? Because I know the area pretty well.
He lives in Koreatown.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly where it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're going to go out there and visit him in a couple of weeks, and that'll be fun. My daughter's in Chicago in college, so renewed empty nest here and doing some fun stuff with my husband and running my business. So it's great. Yeah, it's a good start to the year. I'm feeling very optimistic for 2019, although it is an odd number year, which I usually prefer even numbers.
Interesting.
Is that so?
Yeah. Really? Kyle, do you have a preference on the year number?
You know, just offhand, I've never given it a lot of thought, but I do think odd numbers are better for me.
Interesting.
I think so.
I might go with odds only because my favorite number is an odd number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think all the major milestones in my life have been odd numbered years.
Well, were you guys born an odd number year?
I was not. I was born an even number.
I was an odd number. My wife was an odd number. My daughter was an odd number. We were married an odd number.
Uh-huh.
So that's all the big ones. We bought our first home.
I remember Kyle's birthday based on his birth date. So it's the best. It's the easiest thing to remember in the world, in my opinion. Well, not the world,
I guess.
But anyway.
In the world.
All right, moving right along. Kyle, what's up with you? How's it going?
Everything's been really good. I've been having a fun start to the year. January's been a busy month for me because I've set aside some projects for this month. You know, one of my responsibilities is coordinating travel for our remote team that is growing rapidly. And I have decided that I'm going to try and do most of the planning ahead of time, early in the year. And I am basically living on Airbnb and booking flights for people on the team and choosing locations for all of our team retreats and the conferences that various team members will be attending. And it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. And I'm choosing to do it all in advance instead of procrastinating and waiting until it's the event date is looming ahead.
Why? And, who are you? Mr. Proactive. What's that about?
Yeah, I know.
So you're like a travel agent?
Sandhills.com.
Travel agent, yeah. Right.
Do you secretly wish you could go to all these places yourself?
He's going to the place.
Well, I know you are going away.
Yeah. I'm going to get my fair share of traveling in, I think. I'm pretty at peace with that. Some of the other members of the team are going to go do some cool things without me. But that's great. I get to do things without them. I'm happy. I'm happy when other people are happy. I'm a people pleaser type person. So when other people are excited and uplifted, that's what raises my happiness level.
Cool. Awesome. My only real update is that my daughter is now 5 for 5 for being accepted to colleges.
Yeah, awesome.
Which is pretty cool. She was waiting for that last one. She got the word 2 days ago.
That is great.
So now,
how many of them is she going to accept?
All 5. She's going to do 5 undergraduate degrees, 3 undergraduate degrees, 2 graduate degrees simultaneously while living at home. No.
If anybody could, it's Avalon.
Avalon could do it. She's gone to 3, no, 2. She's visited 2 of the campuses so far. We did Asheville a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. She's already gone to Boone, which is App State. That was the last one to accept her. So she's going to hit Boston, I think, in 2 weeks. And and then one maybe more upstate New York. There's another school. So, cool. We'll see. She's not sure where she wants to go. I'm a fan of the ones that want to give us the most scholarship money.
Yeah.
So that's how I look at it. Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was that I actually met with a listener of my podcast on Thursday. She's local to North Carolina. She lives out in Carrboro, about an hour away. She reached out because she heard me mention on my other podcast on Kitchen Sink that I've been having issues with onboarding clients and managing that part of my mm-hmm. business. So she is really good at that process and onboarding. And it's stuff we kind of know, and I knew what to do, but I needed to really hear it from somebody else and then write it down. So I did. So now I have a task, ideally by the first of the month or within the very early on stage of February, I need to get all that stuff written down, put it in place, and have it be a process. And then potentially hire someone part-time to help manage that process, because I suck at it, you know. Or I have sucked at it for the past 2 or 3 client mm-hmm. projects. It's on me. You know, I own it, but yeah, I've dropped the ball there, so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's something I think Tara knows a lot about.
She does.
And you didn't ask me for onboarding advice either. I could tell you a thing or two about clients.
Not that you don't like them.
Okay, moving well, on. Yeah, you know, maybe my onboarding strategy is, you know, just slam the door and say no thank you, but Tara might have some better advice than that.
Yeah, maybe I'll reach out to her offline because I'm already past this subject.
Yeah, we've chatted about it a good bit.
Yeah, because we were in a mastermind together for a while there. Yeah, it's just a matter of, it has to be put in place, has to follow through and have the process, and I didn't have that, so it became so casual. I would do the biz dev, I would sell the project. And then it became like, okay, I'll do that, and I'll just kind of work on it here and there. I just wasn't keeping myself accountable for that. So anyway, but I was actually really kind of cool that someone that listens to my show reached out and met with me. I thought that was kind of neat.
That is nice.
That was kind of neat. So that's pretty flattering. So anyway. All right, moving right along.
What you wearing, what you're wearing, what you're drinking now. What you're wearing, what you're wearing, what you're drinking now.
I'm going first since my notes are there. I'm drinking coffee in a nice San Diego State alumni mug. I should have had water here. I just got back from a heck of a workout this morning with some guys. I had joined this group called F3. I'm also reading The Daily Stoic, thanks to our friend Renee. And I'm also reading Atomic Habits. Daily Stoic will last all year. I won't mention it again. It's one chapter a day. Atomic Habits I'll have done midweek next week. Pretty cool.
If atoms are pronounced Adam singular, I still think it should be atomic. Don't you?
I'll let the Webster people know.
All right. I'm wearing a ProsPress t-shirt under a Empowered by WordPress hoodie, and I'm drinking some very tasty coffee, and I'm reading Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Mm. Oh, I forgot to mention what I was wearing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you did.
I have a beanie on from WPN.
Well, we've skipped you. We've moved on. Okay. We've moved on with the show.
Okay.
I am wearing, because I knew I was going to be here this morning, I'm layering my WordPress attire. So I have a WP Engine shirt from WordCamp US, which is super cool because it looks like a bourbon, you know, this one that looks like a bourbon label.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, love that. Love it.
And then a 9 Seeds jacket that the lovely John Brown gave to me, which I really enjoy.
That's pretty exclusive.
That is.
It's very nice. It's very comfortable. I like the colors. It's very nice. Yes. I'm drinking some tea because I'm on a coffee break out of my Hallway Chats mug, also in solidarity with podcasting this morning.
Nice.
That's delightful.
And I'm reading so many books. It's hard to even keep track of them all. But one of my goals this year is to read more. So I'm reading, the fiction book I'm reading is called The King of Mocha, something like that. The Monk of Mocha. Yes, very good. It's actually a nonfiction book, not fiction book, but it's more of a not business book. It's about coffee from Yemen. It's a fascinating story, like rags to riches kind of thing. Pretty cool. So The Monk of Mocha. And then I am reading Atomic Habits as well, enjoying that. So those are the two on the top of my list at the moment. I've got a few more in the queue. Yeah.
Cool. All right. We'll put links to those in the show notes if people want to find that information as well. Cool. And now it's time for the thing.
She builds and maintains websites near Washington, D.C. Her work is outstanding, speaking objectively. She raises the standards of website quality. She's running a top-notch biz, highly refined services, a true time management whiz, and the name of her company is D-E-S-I-G-N-T-L-C. 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 D-E-S-I-G-N-T-L-C is the only agency for me. A podcast with Liam Dempsey. Together they share stories from the community. She's an inspiration to everyone she meets. Her Jane Fonda impersonation really can't be beat. She's running a top-notch biz, highly refined services, a true time management whiz, and the name of her company is D-E-S-I-G-N-T-L-C. 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 D-E-S-I-G-N-T-L-C is the only agency. I've got a friend named Tara, she runs an agency. I'm lucky to know her, and she's a good friend to me. She's a good friend to me.
I like chills now, you know?
You guys are going to make me cry. That is just one of the nicest things anybody's ever done for me. I love it from start to finish. And like musically, I love the guitar. Yeah.
So I do have two questions on this. I have a question. Okay. So, you know, I run an agency too, Kyle. What the
I knew that's what you were going to say.
Obviously. And the other thing really most importantly is I want to hear the Jane Fonda impression.
It's something to see.
Oh, is it to see?
Yeah.
Classic Terry.
I am looking forward.
I think it might be online somewhere. Like maybe.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. That is awesome. I would like to put that on my website. You know, I've been thinking about a video, but now I think I have a song instead. That's so cool.
Right.
Thank you. I'm honored, truly. That is wonderful. Very sweet. That's so nice.
Awesome. Aw,
you guys made my day.
Moving right along.
It's way better than my rap.
No, I don't know. The rap is pretty cool. The rap is pretty cool. So
that's pretty rad.
Yeah, it was. All right. So hey Kyle, you know what time it is now?
Hold on. A second here. Azdhisem it azdei a kirdisheknik.
Is that Hungarian?
Yes.
Getting ready for your trip.
Yeah, I'm practicing.
I'm not sure what you said, but it's not that. It's this.
Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions...
Okay, so that's going to stay in the show because that's just, you know, funny. It's actually this.
I remember my first podcast episode.
That's right, Kyle and Tara. It's questions time. You asked for it. You sent them in. We read them. We research them. And now it's time to give you some options. Are you ready? Are you two ready? Woohoo! Because it's not the beginning of the show, it's the middle of the show. So sorry, wrong button. That's awesome. It's all good. All right. I wanted to hear my wife's voice again. For those who don't know, that opening audio is my wife. That voiceover. So anyway. Okay. Kyle, you're up first.
Here's a question that comes to us from Joe Casabona, good friend of all of ours. He's a great guy. Thanks for the great question, Joe. He asks, with the advent of page builders and the rise of site implementers, how can traditional code-it-myself freelancers stay competitive? Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Good all question. Right. I got an option.
I got an option.
First, before, let me just ask this. Before I even give an option, I mean, stay competitive in what? Development or competitive just in his life? I mean, it wasn't very clear.
I don't know.
True.
I mean, some context here.
Competitive, like in sprinting, in chugging beer, you know, splatter art. I don't know. I was looking for some more definitive, you know, focus here. So
I guess we don't want to make assumptions,
right?
When we answer
okay,
this
but
question.
But let's fill in the backstory. As a degree in theater, I'm going to add backstory. So let's just say it's in the space that we're in. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Sure. So that said, Tara, take it away. What do you have? You have an option for us?
I do have an option. So, you know, focusing the idea that you want to be traditional. So if you want to be traditional, then why don't you just go all in and sell yourself as the traditional developer? And, you know, like think back and do like flashback, like maybe go all GeoCities or all Flash, right?
Then
you could niche yourself as the traditional developer.
Wow.
Why try to compete in this like forward future world? Why not go back and just be like, I'm old school traditional.
That's
one option.
I love that option. That's a fantastic option.
Appeal to the nostalgia, right? Maybe, or, you know, just like the classic values of the web.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. My first option then really is to follow up with that would be is to truly in with conviction really raise your prices by like 100x, because I think the allure of high prices should do the trick.
It's a strategy.
Yeah. You know, that value perception, right? Hey, if you're
instead of the race to the bottom, it's a race to the top.
Well, that does lead me to my next option. Cut the hourly by 95%. Just go custom code for next to nothing. Stand out that way.
I don't like it.
Okay, I didn't say it was a good option. Not a good option, but if you're so maybe 100x your prices.
Yeah,
that's good.
Because 10x is so 1990s. Okay, go ahead, Kyle.
If you can learn to code, you can. This is the thing for Joe to remember. Joe's a smart guy. He's capable of learning new things. Like, if you can learn to code, Joe, you can also learn to be a site implementer. Level up, you know, learn to use page builders, upgrade your skill set, you know, try to keep up with the times and remind yourself, you know, you learned how to write code. That's a real challenge for a lot of people. And if you can do that, maybe, just maybe, you can also learn to build websites with point-and-click code-free tools. There you go.
Yeah, so just take the equation, just like delete the equation, I guess.
Just give in.
You are now one of us.
Yeah.
We are Borg.
He might be up for it. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think he is. I think he may already have gone that way.
What was it from Star Trek? The Borg assimilation? You just assimilate into us. must assimilate into page builders. We have you now. You are one of 1 million. Okay. Do you know the Borg, Kyle?
Yes.
You know?
Oh my God.
I know Tara does.
No, isn't it seven? Was it seven? Is that the one that joined their?
Yeah, the Loquacious, Captain Jean-Luc Picard was Loquacious. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of seven. Yeah, Hugh. His name is Hugh.
That's right.
Okay, total tangents. Okay.
Yep.
Kyle's too young.
That was before Kyle was born.
Jeez, you guys.
said with love. What else? Any other options on that one?
Yeah. Tara, do you have anything to add?
I think those are my two options, were either go all in traditional or just give in and use page builders. Yeah. Kind of one or the other.
Well, okay. So as to be devil's advocate, I think, you know, if you want to be a traditional developer, then maybe you need to find projects that are going to require an old school developer mindset and project tasks, you know, where it may be using PHP and, CSS and SQL, but also maybe some other another language in there or jQuery, but projects that aren't just so dependent on, you know, it's just going to be bigger projects that are customized, right? That you can't do necessarily easily out of the box of a page builder. Because page builders, there's limitations. You can do a lot, but there are limitations.
Yeah.
You know,
I kind of object to the notion that coders are losing relevance.
Right. I do too.
I think it's conceivable that such a day may come, but, you know, as Aragorn would say, it is not this day. I think coders are still completely relevant.
I completely agree.
There are projects that require them for sure. Right. I think it just depends on who your audience is. For people who are building sites for your average small business, it's perhaps not as necessary or relevant as it used to
be. Because
but there are lots of projects that do require that.
Well, yeah. Once you start adding external, you know, things, services, and for example, I have a client. We have, you know, a WordPress site. We have Lifter LMS. We have Infusionsoft. And there's a ton of language in there that I don't know how to do necessarily from the code perspective. So I outsource that. It's just not my forte. I want to learn to code, but I also know that's probably not the best use of my time.
Yeah.
You know,
I think there's always going to be a need for coders. Every client has issues which can be rectified with some custom code.
Mm-hmm.
If you think creatively and really dig deep enough, you can find those issues. Say a client says, oh, everything works great. I do find myself spending a lot of time, though, trying to understand the data. So you know, as a coder, you could propose building some sort of centralized custom reports, which answer the questions the client has and saves them time. There's room for that. And every time when the client's workflow doesn't align perfectly with their technology, custom code can solve those problems. Or maybe a client tells you they wish it took less time to sort through all their job applications that they get, or you create a custom solution where, you know, maybe with some code, the applicants get more questions, their applications are routed to the right recipients and tagged based on custom factors and sorted based on your code and all this stuff just to provide a bespoke solution for that client's needs that, you know, makes them more efficient and their work done more accurately. There's always room for that sort of stuff in every context.
I love the fact that you just use the word bespoke. That's a tough one to do in sentences these days.
It's not that tough. It's not that tough.
You have an old soul. Or you just saw the Kingsman Secret Service. One of the two. Yeah, that's true.
Coders can always make new products too. If you're into writing code, you know, like you don't have to do the whole client thing. If clients are like, whatever, you know, page builder's good enough and I don't really need a custom coder for my project, you know, maybe you don't need to fight the battle. Make products instead.
You could also use your coding skills to create a new page builder because we need another one.
The world does need another page builder.
I think we're up to 125. I think we're looking to go to 150 this year. Because Pippin wants to do an update on all his review of all the page builders.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely what he wants to do this time.
Right.
Yeah. Go and make tools though. Make tools which extend or integrate with those that your clients are using. You know, if all clients are approaching you with needs which can be fulfilled by using builder tools, you know, that's totally okay. Focus on products instead. Think back to a time where, you know, every evolution of technology, you know, like when WordPress becomes popular, that made it possible for people to construct websites without hiring somebody to build some sort of custom thing.
Right.
And so people who were building like their own kind of like custom CMSs custom websites, I guess, were not needed to do new things. They needed to like make WordPress plugins instead and start building on top of the platform that people were using and we're approaching like the next step where, you know, people are building with tools on top of WordPress and you need to build on top of those tools.
Right.
And that can kind of continue to scale up.
Right. Yeah. Like you both said, I mean, you know, it's not going away just because page builders have this, you know, foothold, if you will, traditional developers and coders, not going away. So learn to code, expand your coding skills, fight on.
So. Yeah,
or like just use a page builder,
or just
and go to GeoCities.
It's on the table.
Yeah, it's on the table. It's there.
Tara alluded a little bit to, like, or maybe it was Adam, I don't know, about your audience too, and that that matters. And you can, you have to believe that you are able to make changes which impact your funnel and the audience which comes to you. You can change your positioning. So if you are getting clients approaching you asking for something that ultimately, like, doesn't match your skill set, or you think, you know, you're not needed for, you need to adjust your positioning so that different clients are coming to you. Mm-hmm. We have to believe that that is possible. I know it is. So in Joe's case, like, if you're getting clients that aren't just quite right, change your messaging, change your marketing, change your networking, change your outreach strategy, whatever it is, to position yourself in a way that brings different types of clients to you.
Yep.
Yep. All right. I think that's a solid answer.
That's it. There's lots of options there.
Lots of options. Okay. I'm going to ask the next question here. This one also sent in by Joe Casabona. Wow. It's like the Joe Casabona show.
You asked and he answered.
He delivered. All right. So the question is, can you talk about the challenges of finding guests for your show? Are there any?
Huh. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about it enough. Tara has a show.
Yeah.
Tara has another show.
And so do you, Kyle, and so do I. So it's kind of interesting to have this conversation between the three of us, because between the three of us, we have five
guest
shows.
Guest-related shows, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One, two, three.
I don't know. It's a bunch.
It's a number.
Get Options is the one with, like, the least guests, but we have lots of guests on our other shows.
Maybe, yeah. But yeah.
So each of us can speak, like, personally about our own interview shows, I think. And Tara, like, you, why don't you go first and talk about, like, you guys have a new guest every episode.
We do, every week. Yeah. And it is a challenge. I think the goal that we have for Hallway Chats has always been to give people who aren't on other podcasts or aren't on many other podcasts a chance to be on a podcast. And that can be interpreted many ways. It's not meant to offend people who are on lots of podcasts and not have them on the show. It really is, let people have, you know, something to share with other people where they're telling their story. So that can be hard because they're not people who are reaching out to us that want to promote something that they're doing, or, you know, that have the sort of mindset of sharing on podcasts. So that is a challenge. But we've so far not missed a week. So we are on episode 86, and sometimes it's down to the wire, but we do reach out to people that we meet at WordCamps or on Slack. I've had a lot of people from our Slack channel on there because they really fit that definition really well. And the goal for us, I listened to your last podcast where you talked about sort of the goal of your show and what you're trying to get out of this show, and sort of similar for us, it's not a monetizing thing. It really is just a service and something we enjoy because we really like meeting new people in the WordPress space. But and I think I also on your talk last week, you talked about diversity as well. And I think that's something that we pay attention to as well, and really appreciate having had the opportunity to so far meet people from all around the world and of all genders and races and cultures. So that's also been a goal of our show too. So the quick answer, the challenge is finding guests, is finding those people. And we ask people to refer to us. Kyle, you've sent us some great folks that we've had on the show. So we continue to pursue ways to meet new people. Yeah.
Nice. Kyle,
yeah,
do you have any issues, Kyle, for a WP roundtable?
Well, I do want to comment on this show, which, you know, this is stuff that people don't know. And the biggest challenge for the Get Options guests is the long interview process that we go through. Listeners may not realize that we actually go to great lengths to make sure we only have the best guests on our shows. we actually solicit applications, and we even go to meet with prospective guests in person at their homes. We quiz them about industry knowledge. We ask them to perform a series of rigorous tests, which we can't reveal, obviously.
Yeah, it was really hard.
There's the project. Really, they have to do the project.
We even record a mock episode in their home where we make them answer questions while being randomly interrupted by squads of teenagers with Nerf guns. And if they pass the tests, we schedule them. So that's why it's kind of hard, and that's why we don't have that many guests on the show.
Right.
So it's just a peek behind the curtain for the Get Options show.
Yeah.
Anyway, but as for the roundtable, that's a show I've been doing for approaching 5 years in a couple months here, and I've missed a handful of weeks, I guess, but I've never repeated a guest. I've had a guest on every episode, and it has been sometimes challenging, but usually not for me because I'm not that picky. I don't know how to phrase, I guess, the strategy that I have for finding guests, but I do want to try and get a diverse set of guests and just like everybody who's doing anything in WordPress. And I really don't seek out, similar to Tara, but not in the same way. I don't seek out people who are prominent. I'm not, you know, trying to get high profile guests. If I meet them and find them interesting and want to talk with them, I will have them on the show. Other than that, it's just anybody that I find interesting.
Right. That show has changed, though. When it first started, it was a round table of other people. You'd have three or four people who were always there every week, and then you have a guest.
Yeah, and even before that, the first few episodes, it was just a discussion on topics. It wasn't a guest interview show, and then I kind of commandeered it because I wanted to do interviews. And now I feel like the name doesn't even work anymore. It's kind of silly. And I've thought about changing it, but then I got distracted and never thought about it again. I don't know.
How many episodes have you had? What episode are you on for that?
I don't know. I'm probably close to 200, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's been a lot of people. I think that it's been more like individual interviewed guests than any other like WordPress show that I know of.
Right.
And it's not been that hard for me because I go to a lot of events and meet a lot of people and I genuinely find like all of them interesting.
Yeah.
And almost all of them are quite receptive to the idea. I think over the past 5 years, I've only had 3 or 4 decline.
Well, I declined you at first because I didn't know you. I'm like, no, that wasn't I'm like, why you keep stalking me?
No, almost everyone is more than willing to do so. Some with a little bit of apprehension, but only a handful have ever said, I'm too anxious about podcasts or various reasons. But almost everyone just says yes immediately.
Nice. Yeah.
So not a lot of challenges. Our community is like pretty easy to get in touch with at this point. We're grateful for all the Slack teams that I'm in and all that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, and the thing is, I mean, obviously Hallway Chats is an interview show, a lot of it. Yeah, you know, right. I mean, Roundtable is Kitchen Sink, the Kitchen Sink WP show isn't primarily interview show. I do them every 8 to 10 weeks. But in answer to Joe's question, no, I mean honestly not at all. I mean, people have literally knocking down my proverbial door, begging me to be on. Offering me loot, candy, willing to be an intern for me, if they can perhaps be a simple grunt to be acknowledged as a part of an amazing WordPress podcast, let alone be part of the best community that ever existed. I mean, just last week, true story, just last week, I was texted, Skyped, poked on Facebook, and hit up on Slack by someone who has a really big following in the WordPress space. I won't say names, but the name rhymes with crema. And I was like, dude, Chris, I'm sorry. I'm booked for the next half year, but we can talk about it at CobblePress. So,
jeez, wow, yeah,
that might be slightly exaggerated, but truth be told, I have been hit up often. Most recently, I mean, I get hit up at least once a month for somebody who wants to be on the Kitchen Sink to Be podcast. I'm very hesitant. Only one time have I bumped somebody up to the top of the list because they reached out. They were already on my list of people to interview. I probably interview literally 4 people, maybe 6 per year. But some of those interviews are the new WordCampers, which I do kind of traditionally at certain WordCamps during the year. WordCamp US, WordCamp Orange County when I was living in California. I'll do that a few times a year. But as far as actually one-on-one interviews, I don't do that many of them. And I have one coming up, ironically enough. But I get hit up often for people who want to be on the show, I think who want access to the audience. And I'm very hesitant on that, only because I respect my audience so much that I don't want to be a platform to sell their other service or product. I want the story if I find it interesting enough, you know. And then at the end of the thing, okay, hey, you're here, you have this new thing, okay, fine. But I just literally got hit up last week for something, and I'm like, I'm good, thanks. I'll let you know when I have an opening, because it was clearly as a sales thing. So, yeah, but it happens, you know, it happens. So I think the challenge is to balance the right person for the audience and respect the audience as well. So I think that's the answer I would give Joe.
Mm-hmm. So Joe runs a podcast of his own,
oh, he
too.
Does.
And his is a little different than each of ours. So I think we're not targeting the same types of guests.
Right, right.
Joe is deliberately seeking like founders and people behind prominent projects and interviewing them to understand like how they became successful on his How I Built It podcast. And so those are often different people. I've interviewed a lot of the same people that he has, and you probably have a couple, Tara, as well. But I think Tara and I, and you as well, Adam, are really focused more on just the people that we personally find interesting.
Right.
Yeah. And also trying to give a platform to people whose stories haven't been told quite so often.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay.
Yeah. Yours is really similar to ours, or ours is really similar to yours, Kyle.
Yeah.
We did not copy you.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm coming up on 5 years also, I think, possibly. Yeah. I mean, and back to your comment, Kyle, about reaching out for somebody who is a big, you know, big name. I've actually had some, but it's because I've met these people in person, you know, on the show. Yeah. I mean, I've had Matt on the show, and that was based on a dare. You know, I met him at San Francisco, and he said, yeah, and he's been on twice, and I haven't had that many repeat interviews. I've had Matt on twice. Dustin, I think, has been on twice. Mm. That's it, I think, for you know, Dustin took over my show at the episode, I think, 200, interviewed me. That was kind of fun. But anyway, yeah, same thing. I go after the people, not for their status in the space, but more for sharing the story that I find interesting, that I think my audience would also find interesting, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to, we have a segment, two segments.
That's right.
With no sound effects.
Right. This show's about to get really fun.
Really fun. So the first segment we're going to do is, like we did a few weeks ago, top dev. Okay. Kyle, since you're running this one, how you want to run this one, go ahead.
Top Dev is a show where two participants in this show compete against each other with their description of how they would handle a project or respond to a project. And so I'm going to describe the project, and both contestants, Tara and Adam, will have an opportunity to describe how they would respond, and I will be the judge and see who had a better response to this project inquiry. All right, you guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here's the project. A client named Joe Macedonia has been referred to you by a friend in the WordPress community. He's an online educator who has been earning money online by selling his books, lessons, and training for 10 years. You've never met him, but you like him after the first meeting. He's friendly and makes lots of on-point jokes, though some are too edgy for your tastes. Joe tells you that he is not great with code. I know just enough to be dangerous, he says with a laugh, as though he's the first bloke to ever say that. He then explains how he's worked with three different developers in the past 3 years, but none of them have worked out. He doesn't go into details about why, but shrugs and makes a joke about web designers these days. He tells you up front that he's more than willing to compensate you fairly and expects this to cost in the low five figures. But the cost is not what he's worried about. He really needs someone he can count on to actually stick around and give him more professional advice so he can grow his business. He's heard you really know your stuff and have a track record, a great track record. As for timeline, he'd like to get to work on the first of three websites within the next 2 weeks and launch a redesign with added functionality by June 1st. Once that goes live, he wants to essentially repeat the process for the second website and then ultimately the third. All three, he assumes, need very similar functionality. His three sites are, first, joesnoserosegrows.com, which is a membership site featuring his writings about rose gardening. The second is, this is a website selling audiolessons.website, which is where he sells his audio lessons on a variety of topics, including the history of knots for men's ties and the Old Testament from the perspective of a shopping cart repairman and building genuine online friendships with MySpace. The third website, funkazelicnation.biz, is where Joe sells videos and virtual training for people who want to truly master the art of funk music. All of these three websites were rebuilt 2 years ago using Laravel. They are all monetized with PayPal buttons and nothing more. The client has been watching his traffic steadily decline over the past year. He's losing search engine rankings, and his affiliates have stopped promoting his offerings. His goals with this new project are, one, to get traffic turned around and growing once again. Two, improve each site's rankings in the search engines. Three, double the conversion rate from 1% to 2% of visitors. Four, convert all three to a subscription pricing model. Five, add sophisticated and easy-to-understand reporting for all the e-commerce functionality. Joe says he's talking to one other developer who promised they'd have a quote in a day or two, but he thinks you seem more experienced, so you shouldn't worry. After the meeting, he shoots you a text message which reads, "Let's do this," muscle flexing emoji, "great meeting, thanks TTYL," peace emoji. The project requirements are, Joe wants to be able to control all visible content on every website himself. He wants you to focus on more compelling designs and strategic technical changes, which will help him achieve his goals. All three websites need to function as similarly as possible so his job is easy. He also needs to have some place to go whenever he wants to check on the project's overall status and progress without shooting you a message. Also, he has reason to believe traffic might really spike this summer when he tries some big marketing pushes, so the site needs to scale really well. What will you propose for Joe?
Oh, boy.
Wow. That's a lot of writing right there, Kyle.
That is. Now, who should go first?
If Pippin's wondering what you did last week, we now know.
Take that long. Jeez,
okay,
guys.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead. I think Tara should go first.
I think Tara should go first, too.
All right. I will go first. First of all, what kind of friend refers this very complicated client? I'm not sure if that's a very friendly thing to do, but it's very complicated, but I'd like to start with the domain names.
Moses supposes his toes are roses, but Moses supposes erroneously. But Moses, he noses, his toes aren't roses, as Moses supposes his toes to be. Moses supposes his toes are roses, but Moses supposes erroneously. A Moses is a Moses, a Moses is a toes.
So.
That's awesome.
That was the first thing I thought of when I heard this really nice domain of Joe's Nose Rose Grows.com. If you're not familiar with Singing in the Rain, that was a little clip from Singing in the Rain. So awesome. I would, as catchy as that can be, if you do set it to a tune, I would start by suggesting that Joe Macedonia reconsider his domain names to simplify them. and redirect what he's got to something a little bit simpler instead of especially this is a website selling audio lessons.website seems a little bit hard to remember and type out. So I would start with that. There are some red flags, of course, the fact that he's worked with several other developers and it just hasn't worked out. That actually happened to me once. I had a potential client who first question he asked was, and if we end up not liking what you're doing, then what happens midway through? And that should have been a red flag that I did not pay attention to. So there are some red flags here, and I think it would definitely be a consideration of whether or not to even move forward with this person. Probably in my real world, I wouldn't. But if I were to get excited about it, and because he is such a nice guy who tells good jokes, maybe it might be worth a try. So starting with the domain name changes, I'm also not really experienced with Laravel, but I believe that WordPress is probably a better fit for him since he wants to be able to edit all of his stuff himself. So I would propose WordPress, of course. And then for these three different projects, if we're starting with the Roses show, I would suggest doing some keyword research and reviewing his content in order to help him with his main goal of getting traffic and increasing conversions. So coming up with some really good keywords and optimizing his content for those, setting up a good reporting structure. And along those lines, of course, since he wants to monetize this, I would use Easy Digital Downloads, which I already am familiar with and use on my own website. And they
suck up.
I know. Well, since he did take some time to do this, we have to relate it to his job somehow, right, Kyle? and EDD has a subscription option, and they also have a good reporting option, which I'm not familiar with, but I know they do have it, an enhanced e-commerce add-on that does some of this e-commerce reporting that Joe wants to have. for the audio lessons website, since he does quite the variety, including just amazingly the Old Testament from the perspective of a shopping cart repairman, maybe, you know, subdomains might be an option there, because these are really not that related to each other. And I think that the funkadelic.biz, if he's doing a training there, it might be an opportunity to use a learning management system like Lifter LMS, which I've used before as well. And then I would also propose an advertising strategy for him. So some Google ads and maybe some Facebook ads to help him more quickly increase his engagement and conversion.
Fantastic. I took a lot of notes. Adam, are you ready to respond to this project?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I can already tell you who's going to win this one.
All right.
Not me. Nope. Because I tell you what.
Let's hear it.
I tell you, first and foremost, you said the word red flags. That's the first thing I said when I read this thing out. I was reading it, and I even called Kyle on this early. I'm like, So three main red flags. Edgy jokes. You know what? I'm not that edgy anymore. I'm a mature adult male. I respect my society, my world. Edgy jokes, not going to fly. Okay. How he's worked with three different developers in the past 3 years, but none have worked out. Well, the common denominator is him. So I literally just had the same conversation and situation 2 months ago. I was the number four, and it didn't work out. I mean, it was a red flag. That's another red flag. And I've talked about red flags on my other podcast, in the two episodes, Anyway. And then the timeline. He wants to get to work on the first of three websites within the next 2 weeks and launch by June 1st. Okay. Well, we're busy. My agency at the moment, I can't fit you in the next 2 weeks. We can start the conversation, but, we're in February, March, April, May, 3 months to build it, possibly for one of the sites? Okay. So all that said, the red flags is a huge mark against the project for me to begin with. If I were moving forward, I would start with the discussion of one site project at a time. The promise of more work before other start has already come up, like to do all three sites, is yet a fourth red flag, okay? I've had that situation. Oh, yeah, if you do this one site, I have four more. I did this once long time ago in the flat web development days where I gave a deal because this real estate agent was going to do three sites. So we got the first site at this deal price, and then they pulled the plug on the other two. So lesson learned, one project, one price at a time. One proposal, everything. Scope, discovery, implementation. From there, I would actually first have clear and concise understanding of the site, the expectations, delivery, milestones, the onboarding. Sound familiar from my perspective? Within all of that. And then after thinking about all this for a good 24 to 48 hours, I would be inclined to pass on the entire project because I trust my gut and I know what I can do. And I realized, once again, based on the four, if not five red flags, I would have to find him another resource, a developer, perhaps send him to Squarespace and or GeoCities. Thank you. Yeah, the more I read, we can try to, I don't want to say force our will as an agency or as an owner into guiding him, but I think at some point in our day-to-days, from my perspective, it's not worth the effort. In the low five digits? No, I'm good.
Fascinating. These are great responses, so I'm going to provide some feedback to the contestants at this point, because I took notes, as you can see, on this analog style.
Okay.
Adam, we'll start with you.
Okay.
Lots of good information. You talked about red flags. You demonstrated your experience by telling us all about the lessons you've learned from similar projects like this. So you come across as someone who really knows this stuff and has been around the block before. Like, you know how this project's going to turn out before you even do it. That adds a lot to your credibility, and I like seeing that. There's some confusion over the timeline about whether the client is asking for three websites before June 1st or just the first one. And so that may be something to clear up. I like you standing your ground and saying, hey, one project, one proposal, none of this three-in-one stuff. And, that's important for us as business owners to just say, hey, this is how I work and we're going to do it my way. So that's cool. And then you decided to pass on the project, which I have tremendous respect for. You know what? Life's too short to work with bad clients. We don't know if Joe is really a bad client, but you think the signs are there, so I respect you from turning away what could be a lucrative project, but maybe is not worth it for your well-being. So a lot of points for you there.
Thank you.
Tara, I like a lot of what you had to share. I think your recommendation to change his domain names is bold, but really demonstrates like you are the expert, not Joe. You want to recommend some strategic changes that you really think will benefit him in the long run. You're clearly demonstrating how interested you are in helping his business grow, not just doing what he thinks he needs. Switching to WordPress. Yeah, it's a no-brainer. You had a lot of great things to say about reviewing the content, coming up with appropriate keywords. That's useful. You mentioned using easy digital downloads and recurring payments and the enhanced e-commerce tracking. That wins you major points. maybe playing to your judges is just a smart strategy, but I think it's an appropriate tool set for the scope of the project. So there. Critical thinking about the needs of some of these projects. You observed that some of the content on one of the three sites is unrelated, and maybe subdomains would be more appropriate so the audiences could be properly segmented when the content doesn't overlap. That's really smart. That shows you're reading into this and really thinking hard about the client's actual needs. You recommended using an LMS on the Funko website. That's just smart, of course. I'm sure the client is going to be like, oh, yeah, duh. And then you even thought about the marketing strategy for these businesses and using some advertising. You demonstrated that you know how to drive traffic. You know how to get people to the website. You're the expert, not the client. Had a lot of great stuff to say. The winner is Tara.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clear. That's I've been robbed.
Great job, everyone.
Good job. Good job.
You're moving on to the next round, Tara.
Sweet.
You're the new co-host of the show.
Like the Great British Bake Off, where I like had the perfect sponge.
Nice. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you both for participating in Top Dev.
Yeah. I mean, literally, can I just tell you real quick, when I read this, I went to call Kyle yesterday and I was just like face palm, like, really? Like, I was mad originally. Yeah. Okay.
Tough.
All right. So do we want to do the next segment real quick? Kind of make it short and sweet if we can?
Yeah.
We're running a little long on the show, just so you know. This is one of our longer shows.
It's okay.
Okay. All right. So the next segment is Do and Cue. I don't think I have a sound effect for that. I don't. Okay.
This is a segment where we just list stuff that we think listeners should check out, should throw into their queue for reading and listening and watching and so on.
Okay. So let's. I have... 2 books, 3 podcasts. That's all I got.
All right.
I'll go first.
What? Okay.
So quick, my book, I mentioned one book already called The Daily Stoic. It's a daily read, kind of, you know, it's an e-Kindle book, $3. It's about stoicism. Pretty cool. The other books I'm reading, I have it on hold. I'm on the list to get it. The Fifth Season. It's a science fantasy novel. I've heard really good things about it by N.K. Jemisin. It's the first volume of the Broken Earth series. And the second and third book are called The Obelisk Gate and The Stone Sky. I haven't read this type of book in a long time, science fiction, fantasy. So I'm looking forward to it. So it's on my list. It's in my queue, if you will. Podcasts, 3 of them are The Arcbenders. My friend Elisa, her is on that show. Focused, it's a rebranded podcast about getting things done and focused. And then a new WordPress podcast that's out there called WP Square One.
Wow.
With Micah Wood, and I can't think of the other co-host, and pretty cool. So I'm just giving them props to another WordPress show out there. So
cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. And I was on it a couple weeks ago. My episode comes out like in a month or two. So.
Okay. Tara, do you want to share yours?
Sure. So books, I mentioned that I'm reading Atomic Habits and really enjoying that. I like that type of book a lot. I also... just finished reading Everybody Writes, which our Slack group book club had read, and that sort of motivated me to write more. So I would say I skipped over a lot of that book, but it is a good motivator. And then I also have a book called Treating People Well, which is sort of one of my other focuses of life is doing good. So there's another book that I can't remember the name of that someone just referred me to, and I'll give it to you to put in the show notes when I get the title. But it's about giving and about corporate giving and the benefits of of having that be part of your business strategy is giving back. So those mm-hmm. are some books that I would recommend. Podcasts, I am not listening to that many WordPress podcasts. I took a little break. I listened to yours and then I listen to The Daily every day and The Gist, which are more political sort of news podcasts. And The Moth is my very favorite podcast that's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and movies, can I mention? I've seen almost all of the Oscar-nominated movies.
I want to do that this year. I've never done that. Wow. I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah. I try to do that every year. And so I've been on a streak of seeing movies. And I saw The Favorite a few weeks ago and really loved that. That's one of the big nominated films. Okay. So really enjoyed that. Smart. And cool. Yeah, so there are a good number of movies out there to see.
Yeah.
And yeah.
If you've seen The Bunch, are there any standout that you're like, I really think you guys got to watch this?
Yeah, I think The Favorite was probably my favorite overall that I've seen
so far. It's very meta.
Yeah, I saw The Green Book, which I really liked more than I thought I would. It was a very feel-good movie, actually. It mm-hmm. made me feel very hopeful
cool.
about people. So, yep, I'm seeing the Bohemian Rhapsody today.
Cool.
And I saw the Beale Street. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which was beautifully filmed, but very sad. Wow. So,
yeah. Great.
Beautiful.
Thank you for sharing.
Tour. Yeah.
I've got a handful to share.
Okay.
Let's see. A few podcasts. I listened to Radiolab is one of the best podcasts out there, but they had a recent episode called The Punchline, and I loved it. This was like a phenomenal story. Did either of you guys listen to it? Radiolab is just, it's fantastic. They're one of the OGs, like of just like great, extremely well-produced podcasts. And every episode is really, really good. But The Punchline, I was just like totally captivated by this story. It's a hockey story, and I don't care a whole lot about hockey, but this story was just like, it was amazing. And one that was compared to like the script of a Disney family movie, in that it just like has this triumphant ending that it seems like you couldn't make this stuff up. But so worth listening to. I loved it. I had to share it with some friends. Okay. Unexplained podcast has started season 4, and it's like creepier than ever. And I'm not really into creepy stuff, but the Unexplained show is just gripping. Surviving Y2K is a podcast that I just listened to. That was pretty fun. Whole bunch of episodes in like this one very fascinating story arc with a lot of interesting characters going back to a weird time in our history. And I also listened to a podcast series called Slow Burn, which is about, you listened to that too?
Yep.
Yeah, I was fascinated by that. Obviously, I was like a kid when all that stuff was going down. This is like the Bill Clinton,
yeah.
You know, all that fun stuff happened. How long ago was that? 18, 19, 20 years ago?
Fun yes. stuff, really. Okay.
Yeah. I recently enjoyed an episode of the Waking Up with Sam Harris podcast. And this episode was called Conquering Hate with Dia Khan. That was fascinating, her telling her story. She's made some documentaries, and that was really good. And the Hallway Chats podcast, I don't know if you guys have heard of that. I would cue that up in your podcast player of choice.
Aww.
Couple blog posts that I liked. I like Pippin's Year in Review.
Oh, yeah,
posts.
I like that, too. I read that. Yep.
Yeah, not bad. A friend of mine, Igor Benich, also wrote a Year in Review that was really good, very transparent and thorough. And there are a few songs that I can't get out of my head on Spotify that I'll share. One is Olaya by Blanca White, which I discovered on some playlists. And like, you can't listen to this and not feel happier. It's like one of the greatest songs I've heard in a while. It's spelled O-L-A-L-L-A, so cue it up. I also really have been enjoying Winter in Chicago by Flatfoot 56 and Collie Man by Slightly Stupid. So these are some good jams to throw on your playlist.
Awesome.
From Spotify.
Cool. Awesome.
And we'll link to all those in the show notes.
The book is called The Go-Giver.
The Go-Giver.
The Go-Giver. Mm-hmm. Not Reddit, but okay. It's been recommended.
The Go-Giver. Okay, cool. I'll put that in there. All right. Well, I think that is it for this week. Thanks again, Tara, for being a part of this amazing episode.
Oh, thanks for having me. This has been great, and that song is going to keep me happy for a long time. Oh, that was very sweet. Right. That's a nice gift.
So, Kylie, want to wrap us up with that little
thanks, everybody, for listening to episode 80. 3 of the Get Options podcast. Thank you, Tara, for joining us on this awesome show. And future shows are coming out soon. We are encouraged. We got great feedback recently. And Adam and I are just like feeling excited about the next season, even though we don't do seasons. But just this year of really presenting you guys with great audio material and awesome answers and jokes that make us laugh. And really, the lifeblood of this show is your questions, so we need more of those. Go ahead and send more of them to our email, questions@getoptionspodcast.com, or dump them into our contact form on that website, or give us a voicemail. Maybe check out all of our songs, including a rap by Tara Clays on our SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/get_options. Anything else, Adam?
I think that's it. But you can find us online, Twitter primarily, @get_options. Kyle's @MrKyleMauer. I'm @HeyAdamSilver. Tara, where are you online at Twitter?
I am @TaraClays on Twitter.
Awesome. And that is it. So say goodbye, Kyle and Tara.
Goodbye, Kyle and Tara.
Moses supposes his roses are roses, but Moses supposes erroneously.
Or we could always, we could also end with this. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.